Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very important subject today. I have simply chosen to call it, Be Careful, God's Watching. And I believe we have a number of political candidates that need to understand what the Bible says in relationship to digging a pit for someone else, trying to roll a rock up the hill to fall on someone else. The Bible says that rock will fall on you and you'll fall in the pit that you're digging for someone else. I believe some of our candidates need to learn a biblical lesson from that and recognize the danger of it. We have as our special guest today, Raymond Johnson. Raymond is the president of Biblical Concepts Ministries. Raymond has firsthand, hands-on street information in relationship to our candidates and how he believes that we need to vote for March 21st of 2023. Just before the news break, we were talking about the candidates running for mayor. And I want to elongate that discussion a little, Raymond, if you don't mind. Thank you again for joining us. But one of the candidates that I understand that based on a new poll that's been done, and I don't know the value of the poll. I have no confidence in polls. But based on the polls, it shows that you've got Daniel Davis and Leanne Cumber leading out with then Al Ferrero being number 3. How do you view that? Do you think that we need to believe that poll? Do you think that there's any flaws in that? Do you believe that Christians and conservatives need to – which candidate should Christians and conservatives select out of the top 3 that are running, i.e. the Republican candidates, Leanne Cumber, Daniel Davis, and Al Ferrero? How does that shake out from the standpoint of biblical examination?
Well, as far as just as the poll goes, obviously I didn't trust the source either. I think there's a second poll that's been out now. The first one was simply from a pay-for-play political consultant down in the Tampa area. So that one showed Deegan ahead, which is going to be that way because of the 3 big Republicans splitting the vote. So it showed Deegan ahead at first, Davis in second, Ferrero at third, and Cumber at fourth. I mean, That is the most – I would like to mention that. That is very interesting. And it's so sad to have seen so many more political and politically involved, maybe activists or elected officials and such, that they see the problem with the political mafia in the city, and yet they've turned around and, if you will, stabbed in the back our friend Al Ferrero by supporting the more liberal candidate strictly because they see the need, the problem with the political mafia, but they reward the liberal candidate and say, well, she's got the money to beat the establishment. So they turn around and support her over the principled conservative. That has happened. But my point of that is $4 million that Cumber has raised and spent to Daniel Davis's 5, and yet she's at polling at 5%, okay? And Al Ferrero has raised $250,000 compared to – and he's double that of the woman that's supposed to be the, you know, the one that can bring down the political mafia, and she's nothing more than a radical liberal. So, but as far as the, you know, candidate of choice is obviously Al Ferreira. He's a principled conservative Christian. He has spent his 8 years fighting for our values, voted against HRO at least 10 times when you count all the committee votes and the three different times that it's been before the council while he was on it for the last 8 years. You know, the first, I'll remind voters, the first call I made when I discovered back in this, roughly around June of 2019, saw the article, Drag Queen Story Hour was coming to Jacksonville Public Library. And so, I mean, literally the first phone call was to Councilman Al Ferreira would say, hey, you got to know this is happening. I need your help desperately. And he single-handedly, called, you know, he called the mayor's office. And guess what? At the end of the day, literally at the end of that same day, Drag Queen Story Hour was not taking place in the Duval County Public Library, thanks to him and understanding that is just not the place for that, and not with our in a public tax paid facility.
Well, so Raymond, let me ask you a couple of questions. When we're talking about Al Ferreira, and he is the candidate, I believe, that meets the biblical criteria, he's the candidate that's not tied up with the political mafia in the city. He's the candidate that's not backed by the good old boys club in our city that's tried that single-handedly run our city for the past, well, I've been in Jacksonville 41 years, and they've been behind the scenes, and the others have simply been puppets, and they're pulling the strings. So Al Ferreira being the main candidate that meets the biblical criteria, let's drop back for a moment and look at one, Daniel Davis. Why would Daniel Davis be the one that does not meet the candidacy requirement based on the scripture? When the scripture says, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, does he meet the criteria of anyone or all four of those requirements in the scripture? And tell me why.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked. That's exactly a good point. So the answer is no. Absolutely not. And I don't mind publicly saying why. Listen, folks, you know, if you go back to my Facebook page, I posted a mailer from my councilman, and I circled, highlighted with a pen, highlighter thing, a statement about it said supporting keeping taxes low. Okay, I'm giving this as an example. We'll get back to Davis. And so I posted that, but yet I posted the photo of the very the screen at city council that shows the votes where this councilman had voted for the gas tax. And I told my followers, you know, ignore what they say, watch what they do.
Yes.
Okay. And back to Mr. Davis, I don't care how much you profess to be a Christian. This is where he's getting over on a lot of Christian brothers and sisters over on the west side because he's a big member at Trinity Baptist Church. Well, I'm sorry. I see his actions. Okay. He publicly supported the, as you call it, the human reprobate ordinance. I talked to him to his face. Let me take one moment, if I may, to remind voters every chance I get, I try to warn people. I had a face-to-face conversation with Daniel Davis. He point blank said that there was a place for HRO in corporate America. And when I confronted him on his faith and asked him, well, you claim to be a Christian, but you're the CEO of the chamber. I know you got to have a job. I understand that. You know, I was very careful with my words and said, look, the chamber is pushing the HRO. You're supposed to be a Christian. So what is the Davis plan to separate yourself from this? Are you publicly supporting this or not? In a public meeting with the mayor, he literally started yelling at me. Asked me, what was I doing to him? Why am I doing this to him? And he angrily stomped out in a hurry and left the meeting. That's how he treats people. He knows that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Raymond, let me ask you something. I hear what you're saying, and I think our listeners understand that. Daniel Davis is head of the Chamber of Commerce. I'm looking at an article that is very, very frightening. Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce received nearly $750,000 on an annual basis in the Florida taxpayer dollars. And The money is apparently being funneled, this article says, into the office's coffers of the far-left extremist indoctrinating children with grotesque sexual propaganda. And it goes on to talk about where out of the Chamber of Commerce gets about $750,000 out of the city taxpayers' funds. And then part of that is going to the Jasmine Club, which the Chamber of Commerce, under the leadership of Daniel Davis, openly, wholeheartedly supports. How does that compare with and the Jasmine Club is simply where they're literally taking kids off the streets, boys and girls, and getting them convinced that they need to change their sex, and then even providing clothing. If it's a little boy, they give him clothing for a girl. A little girl, give clothing for a boy, and start the sexualization and the brainwashing of that child. And yet our taxpayers' money is being paid to the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce then funding out of the back door to the Jasmine Club in the city of Jacksonville to destroy the lives and the morals and ethics and values of our kids, and yet we want that for mayor. I don't understand that. How do you respond to it?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up. And my warning is, listen, brothers and sisters, okay, there may be people that attend a lot of good conservative Baptist churches, particularly on the left side around over here by Trinity Baptist, where Mr. Davis, you know, goes to church and is a deacon. So where is his pastor on that? Where is the discipline? Why is this being allowed? This man is a deacon at this church, professing Christian, running as a conservative. I'm the conservative, pointing his fingers at all the conservatives, saying liberal. Yet his own organization, for the last decade or however long or so that he's been CEO, and he is literally funding annually by the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to a grooming pedophile organization. When you say they take that Jasmine takes these kids off the street, they're a nonprofit organization that operates all across Northeast Florida. They literally, when you say that, so your listeners understand, they literally take kids off the street. They have housing for minors where, you know, if they want to run away or you know, if they're homosexual, LGBT, they put these kids up and house them. It's not just for those that need housing, but, you know, all these these kids that are proclaiming to be homosexual or lesbian, whatever, and many times they're going to these events and whatever to this club and this organization without their parents' knowledge, and they're teaching them this stuff, and yet this is just a, you know, as if it's some okay, wonderful organization, and his organization, you know, the Chamber of Commerce is funding them every year by the hundreds of thousands of dollars. They were just recently busted for a highly sexualized, totally inappropriate pornographic game that was being offered. It was posted on their Facebook page. Words I can't even say on here, but let's just say it was a graphic sexual game that should not be for minors. Let's just leave it at that.
Raymond, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I sure agree with your guest today. He's right on. And Dr. Youngblood, I think about the truth. My grandson and I went into a store the other day and bought some water. And I'm thinking, you know, 50 years ago, you couldn't have found any bottled water in a store because nobody would buy it. And when you've lived almost 80 years, if you're not a fool, you pretty well can see how things are trending, how things are going. And you'd have to be a real fool to see the Democrats have basically just about destroyed America. They've destroyed the minorities. Any work ethics that they would have with all these giveaway programs. And what your guest is talking about, this Daniel Davis, he's just, he's not a groomer. He's just a vote getter. He'll cross the line so fast it'll make your head swim. He's a rhino. I just thank you for this broadcast because it exposes a lie for the truth. And Doc Youngblood, I just wish people would support this to where we could get the truth out there. I just look at the way things are going, and if Donna Deegan would become mayor, we'd have another Los Angeles we'd be living in. Mm-hmm. So please keep doing what you're doing. And I just pray that the listeners will sign up and support this broadcast.
Amen. Well, keep praying and keep looking up, Tom. I'm thankful for your call and your input. You're right on target with where we need to be. And I believe the key element, if we could top the loose ends with these few moments of statement, the key element is we as Christians and conservatives need to go back to the biblical basics of what the Bible says that the candidate ought to be like. We need to vet the candidate and vote not based on what the smut flyers that's being mailed out say, not based on what the power brokers and the mafia, election mafia would have us to do, but what does the Word of God say? The Scripture is very, very clear. They need to be able men such as fear God. That means to honor God and respect God and respect God's word. Men of truth, that is having a reputation of integrity and honesty, reliability, not liars, not mailing smut flyers out just to destroy the opposition. Hating covetousness. We need to follow that guideline and be obedient to that. And I believe God will honor that in giving us the people in office that we need to have. Raymond, take a few moments, and then we've got another call on the line. Take a few moments, and let's further elongate the thought and relationship to why we ought not, I'm using it this way, why we ought to vote for Al Ferrero out of all of the candidates for mayor. Al Ferrero is most closely aligned with the four-point qualification found in God's election guide in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Why is it that Leanne Cumber does not meet those qualifications?
Oh, great. You know, I was just thinking I wanted to mention that. The short of it is, well, you know, look at her voting record. Look at her whole life record. The most important thing I'd say on her voting record of 4 years on the council, she voted for the HRO LGBT rights open bathroom bill. She's given thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars year after year after year. You can go back. I personally went and looked it up myself. She has given all these thousands of dollars to horrible, liberal, wicked Democrat, you know, candidates and Democratic causes, political committees, all kinds of liberal stuff. But yet all of a sudden, right before she filed to run for city council, she changed from a Democrat to a Republican to run. And now, after this four-year record of being a liberal, she's claiming conservative, which is just a magic word. In a conservative channel.
It's what you call a chameleon. Raymond, right. Hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comments, please.
You know, I'd like to thank Raymond Johnson for continuing to take a stand, campaign after campaign, and steadily in between sharing the work of David Barton and others, pointing to America's godly heritage and realizing that our decline as a nation morally means also and portends the likely soon demise of a nation. If we as believers do not engage, we see this thing go off a cliff. So I'm thankful that he's steadily stepping into the breach and doing the jobs that so many others will not do. I'd like to also sing the praises of Bill Lee and the legislature in the great state of Tennessee that just passed legislation that prohibits the cross-dressing, the transgender displays before children. I mean, you ask yourself this question. Why does a grown cross-dressing man need an audience of four-year-olds? Why? Well, in the state of Tennessee, that has been a stop has been put to that. Sadly, amen. Places like Jacksonville, Florida, I think the HRO would stand in opposition to such legislation in Northeast Florida. So I'm sad for Jacksonville, Florida. I hope that that is turned around and that there is restoration for some moral standard, some blocking of the what we used to call this contributing to the delinquency of a minor. As a minimal, there may be a sexual aspect that there will be another charge, but at least contributing to the delinquency of a minor. This sort of grooming ought not take place anywhere in a decent nation with good people running it.
Well said. In fact, that kind of is a basic tying the loose ends on all sides and a summarization of why I believe that Al Ferrero is the candidate that conservatives and Christians and patriots in Jacksonville needs to vote for. Raymond, Greg, if you'll hold on for a moment, Raymond, explain very briefly the reason that we need to put Al Ferrero in office, the reason he needs to be the city's next mayor, the reason that he will, if you please, meets all of the four-point qualifications that's found in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, God's election guide.
Well, to start with, he is, you know, it's to talk about the scripture, an able man. He's proven that. He's been in business his whole life, you know, built a very large and successful lawn business. In fact, I and your son, Greg included, was just on the line. Your family knows about running the lawn business as well, and that's not an easy thing to do. And so he's been a very large lawn business, so.
In other words, he is a hard worker. He is not a white-collar worker. He does not have a 501c3 or 501c4 nonprofit on the side that he's getting funds through the city council coming back. He's one out of only two on the city council that does not have a nonprofit organization on the side where they go back to the city coffers and get money mm-hmm. for their nonprofit. He's the only city council person that refused to take a raise for the 8 years that he was on city council. He doesn't say that because it sounds like you're tooting your own horn, so to speak, but I say that right. because I know that is a fact. So therefore, we find that he meets those qualifications in the scripture, not covetous, whereas these other candidates are in it for the money. Most of them have never signed the front side of a paycheck. Al has for many, many, many That's years right. in running a landscape lawn care business. And for Daniel Davis to send out flyers to say that he is a politician, that he's putting money in his pocket, et cetera, all fabrications, all total out-and-out lies that's designed to smear the candidate to make people think and question. This is the reason I've said for the title of the issue today, be careful, God's watching, and I believe that needs right. to be heard. Greg, wrap up some thoughts a minute, then we'll let Raymond wrap the program.
Well, I'm disappointed in my friend, and I assume for many years, brother in Christ, Daniel Davis. I've seen some massive missteps from the time in the chamber and legislative acts, including the pushing of the HRO, which I think were just devastating, or they are devastating for Northeast Florida. And because of that and the doubts that linger, I cannot support the man. And Al Ferraro has been a steadfast and stalwart conservative and Christian. And for that purpose, if I were in Jacksonville today, I'd be on the train to see Al Ferraro become the next mayor of the great city of Jacksonville. I will say on another front, I am so excited every single day, and I know this will scare some people to death, I'm so excited every single day as we see news that seems to be pouring right out of the Bible and onto the headlines.
That's right.
And I believe the return of Jesus Christ is nigh. It's very soon, and folks need to be prepared. Have oil in your lamps, folks, and be prepared because the day may come any time, any day.
Yep. Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today on the broadcast. And as I say to all of our listeners, keep looking up, our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you, and thank you so much for getting back with us from the southern tip of heaven, what is called Amen. The northeast part of Tennessee. Thank you so much, Greg. God bless you. Raymond, let's take another minute or two in talking about mm-hmm. what we're saying is that let's filter this out. That Leanne Cumber mm-hmm. is a rhino. Leanne Cumber's husband is an Islamic. Leanne Cumber's husband yep. was involved in part of the attempt to take over and secretly sell JEA. Let's then jump to the other one. Daniel Davis, I believe, received, was it $300,000 or $325,000 as a consultant's fee to try to backdoor the sale of JEA without right. citizens knowing, without city council's approval. Daniel Davis is the key mover and shaker that gave us the human reprobate ordinance, better known as the mm-hmm. HRO, that allows pedophiles and perverts to go into the little girls' bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms across the city of Jacksonville. And it's legal to do so today as a result
That's
of
right.
that push by the Chamber of Commerce. It was Daniel Davis that is responsible today for taking taxpayer dollars and paying through the from the back door of the Chamber of Commerce to the Jasmine Club, which is an organization for perverts, pedophiles, to take our boys and our girls off the streets mm-hmm. and to groom them, to sexualize them, and to try yep. to change their sexual orientation. What other thoughts do you have in relationship to what the citizens need to do, what they need to have as a takeaway from this broadcast today, especially for the mayor's race? How should we act? What should we do? And what does Ferrero's campaign need from we the people to help him? And I know, if I can just do the parenthetical mm-hmm. footnote, I know it's an impossibility for either one of the candidates, in my opinion. There will not be a candidate who will have a clear-cut election success in the March 21st election for the mayor's office.
Right.
It's going to be a runoff. We understand that. What is the best paired up two for the runoff, in your opinion?
What's the question now?
What in your opinion would be the best outcome for two people to be? Who are the two that should be in the runoff, in your opinion?
Well, I would certainly like for Al Ferrero to make the runoff. If I were to guess, it's going to come down to either Ferrero or Davis will face Donna Deegan in the runoff. That's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
The short answer on that.
Well, that's the major thing that I want our listeners to understand. And for the seat that Al Ferrero is now in, which is District 2, who's the candidate running in that, and why should he be elected?
I'm so glad you brought that up. That's right. So it's an amazing situation you have here because Mr. Ferrero has been, served his district well for 8 years, and so he's termed out running for mayor. And so my other friend, who Mr. Ferrero's friend that he has endorsed, is my friend Mike Gay, who's a wonderful Christian businessman, running to replace Mr. Ferrero in District 2, which is basically Ocean Way, First Coast High School, all the way to the ocean. So all that Yellow Bluff, Sterrett, New Berlin, Black Hammock Island, and even across the Dames Point Bridge there at the Fort Carolina area. And Mr. Gay's M. Gay Construction, he's an electrical contractor. Not to be confused with W.W. Gay, but he has a very large, successful business just like them. And, man, he's got his own resources. And he's running a great, great campaign on the ground, out visiting voters. And he is just as strong as, rock solid conservative Christian, done missions work for decades, been in business for over 30 years. Very knowledgeable. He's a quiet guy. He's not some big talking, charismatic politician, but he speaks powerfully.
One of the things I believe our listeners need to understand, I'm looking at a list that pastors endorse Mike Gay, and there's a list of 19 pastors across our city. I realize that's a small number in comparison with the total pastors, but 19 pastors across our city endorsing Mike Gay for office. I think that speaks well of the moral, ethical fundamentals that we believe that he has, that he needs to go in office. Raymond, let me share this with our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight at 7 o'clock at First Conservative Baptist Church, Raymond's going to be with us, and he'll be answering questions for the audience about the different candidates for the different districts. I invite you to come. If you're not already involved in your church, you don't already have a commitment for tonight, 7 o'clock, First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Raymond Johnson will be our guest. He'll be able to eat with us. We'll have a few minutes of singing and prayer time, and Raymond will be available to answer your questions about the candidates for each of the offices that's be open for election on March the 21st. And so, Raymond, we're looking forward to seeing you tonight at 7 o'clock, and we're inviting all of our listeners, if you're concerned about the election, if you want to know how to vote.